It's week number three, game number three. And for some reason, the offense is still looking like they're struggling to move the ball. The offense had struggles. The defense looked a little bit better, showed signs of improvement. Ohio State beat the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes 41-20. But most of the game, the margin, the gap between these two teams was not as large as the final score. We'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly in this live post-game show of today's game between Ohio State and Tulsa.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. We're live in our instant analysis or post-game show once again right here on the YouTube and on the Twitter as Ohio State struggles throughout most of the game against Tulsa, but they won the game 41-20. No matter if you're catching this show via the audio version or on YouTube or on WKYC.com, I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes, this live post-game show, a part of your day. We're going to discuss a lot about the offense. Trayvon Henderson, that boy is special. CJ Stroud, y'all have some questions. I have questions. We'll dive into all of that today. The defense showed signs of improvement. Oh yeah, coaches, you're not off the hook either. We got so many things to talk about. Let's get right into it. Going into this game, I think it was about a couple hours, maybe an hour before the game started. I got, I looked at Twitter and I saw there was an availability report, a status report for certain players. Taraja Mitchell, game time decision. We saw that Zach Harrison and also Harry Miller were not going to play in this game. Zach Harrison, a big shoes to fill, you would think, but he has not played up to the standard that many people hold him to yet this season. Harry Miller has not played yet one snap this year. So Luke Whippler, who has been the starting center the past two games, was the starting center today. Kerry Coombs, everybody was wondering, what would he call the plays? Would he be in the press box? Would he be on the sideline? Kerry Coombs goes up to the press box. At the end of the game, we find out that Matt Barnes, defensive back coach, was the one that was calling the defensive plays. Trayvon Henderson gets the start today because all game long, we're wondering what's going on with Mayan Williams. At the end of the game, we find out that Mayan Williams missed a practice this week due to not feeling well, and then Master Teague looked had a good week of practice. So Teague got the backup spot for the running backs. Mayan Williams didn't touch the field. Seven Banks, once again, does not start in this game. He comes into the game halfway through the second quarter. There, Munford gets hurt in this game. And all of those are just like injuries and things that are going on. And you might say, Jay, that's a lot going on with one team that's already been struggling so far this year. You're exactly correct. The Ohio State Buckeye standard is very, very high. And I like that it's high. I personally think it needs to stay high. However, this team, for some reason, continues to get off to a slow start. The Tulsa Golden Hurricane offense that hadn't really looked very good all season long. Miss Kelly Hines from Tulsa World, the beat writer that covers the Tulsa football team, even she said on this show, you heard it here on Thursday, that this offense is a work in progress. When Ohio State is not executing the things that they're taught, or they're not being taught the proper things, I believe they're being taught the proper things to do on the field. So it makes you wonder, when the defense is leaving all of these passing lanes open, all of these lanes open for receivers, a coach's son, who it really seems like he's just a coach's son and doesn't get much clock. When he gets some clock, if he scores, everybody goes off and everybody high-fives him and they are very excited for him. Honestly, let me tell you, when I saw the reaction when the coach's son scored that touchdown, I think it was in the third quarter, I'm like, whoa, this is bigger than what you think, because I don't think he's a guy people on his own team expect to get into the end zone. The defense has some issues. The pass rush, we're going to talk about that later on in the show. The pass rush had some holes there. The offense is one-dimensional right now. That scares me. I don't like saying things scare me right now after game number three, but that scares me. I have talked about it here numerous times. I don't like to try to evaluate a team or begin to try to evaluate a team or a player until after the third game of the season. We got the quarters. We're through the first quarter of the season. Now, games three, games four, games five, we're going to begin to see what team we currently have right now at Ohio State in Columbus. We have seen the struggles on the offense, struggling to move the ball through the air. It really confuses me and makes me wonder what goes on in practice, that this is what we're seeing on Saturday afternoons, even Thursday evening during game number one. I'm confused just like you are. I'm confused about the things that we're seeing. I'm confused about how in the world is it that we're just now seeing Trevion Henderson be the starting running back for this team. I'm not knocking Mayan Williams, but if Trevion Henderson looks like this due to Mayan Williams missing a practice this week, maybe it was something that we should have seen earlier. You all know me, I'm passive. I don't want to try to jump to conclusions and jump to things and begin to be a person that says, well, I'm going to jump and be ahead of the gun. Kirk Herbstreit did it on game day week one, said, hey, you guys might want to get in front of UCLA. Well, honestly, I'd rather be passive and say, well, I don't want to make a bold statement just yet. I want to wait and see what happens on the field. Trevion Henderson truly looks like he is going to be very, 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 very special. A very special running back for the Ohio State Buckeyes. But he can't be as special as he can be if Ohio State offense keeps looking like this. The Ohio State offense is struggling over and over and over and over again to the point that the defense at times does get stops. But the offense is not doing their job. Beginning of the game, we saw third and three. I was texting a listener of the show. I believe that this young lady is watching right now. If not, I will get on her at the end of the show. I was texting somebody at the beginning of the game, and I think it was a third and three, first drive. Master T comes in, and I'm saying, that's predictable. And that predictable word came from me after this individual responded to me and said, "Why? We all knew what was going to happen when you put Teague into the game. Don't be predictable. I understand you script plays early on for your offense to get moving and to get into a groove, but don't be predictable. If I'm a defensive coordinator, personnel groupings for Ohio State, formations show that certain things are predictable. Man, and it makes for a long, long game for the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes are a team right now that have to improve quickly. Yes, they're still riding the struggle bus. It is not enjoyable to say that thing. All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players as well. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Let's go to the quarterback and C.J. Stroud. I'm on Twitter throughout some of the game. Not tweeting as much as many of you, but I'm still on the Twitter during the game. And I am looking to see what your reactions are during said game. Many people were not happy. Some people, not naming Twitter names or Twitter handles right now, but some people are saying and calling for C.J. Stroud to get benched. Why don't we see what somebody else can do right now? Why don't we see what another quarterback can do with this team and move the offense? Because right now things aren't working. No, I am not going that far. I think C.J. Stroud is a very good quarterback. It's 3 games. It's the first 3 games that he has started as a quarterback. He is still learning things. However, I firmly understand. Not saying you're right, not saying you're wrong, but I firmly understand if you are a person that says, hey, man, it's time to go. Shoulder injury or not, it's time to go. Decision-making with your mentals, with your head, and what you're seeing on the field, take your arm out of it. Things are not working. It's time to go. There's a lot of talent at quarterback for Ohio State. And some of you might say, well, Stroud has a shoulder injury. He should not be playing. What are you talking about? Well, guys play hurt all the time. It's football. I say we because I have done it myself. It's what you do in football. Some of you are fans of LeBron James in basketball. LeBron plays hurt. You just don't really know about it. Why? It ain't that big of a deal. He's going to go out there and do his thing every single game. CJ Stroud being hurt, is it something that's affecting his throws? Yes, I do believe it does. Now, is it affecting his mentals? Slightly. But I'm very curious what the coaches are saying right now, what Corey Dennis is saying right now to CJ Stroud, what the conversations will be like over the next couple days between him and CJ Stroud and Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson, who has coached a lot of really good, efficient, elite offenses in the college football. I'm curious what all of that will be like because there's something you need to do right now. You have Akron next week. I said all week long, getting off to a slow start on offense should not be something that happens. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hinder you from being successful. And it happened once again. Ohio State needs to start getting off to a faster start. Does it mean changing the quarterback? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. I'm going to wait and see and take a couple days to think about this. You might hear Jay on a Tuesday or a Wednesday say, yes, we need to change the quarterback. Yes, we need to do X, Y, and Z to go ahead and change that because we're not happy with the way things are going right now. And I think Kyle McCord, you can't say you're doing it because you know what you're going to get from them because you don't know what you're going to get from McCord, from Miller, or if you want to say Quinn Ewers, which I wouldn't go that route. I don't think he's ready. But if you want to say Quinn Ewers, you don't know what he's going to do on the field either. It's all about let's hope and see. Now, Grant, you got Akron this week. And I believe the following weekend, in October, first week of October, first Saturday of October, I believe it's Rutgers. Rutgers is better, but it's still Rutgers. Do you want to test out a new quarterback against Akron and then go against Rutgers? Do you want to test out a new quarterback against Rutgers? I would say go the Akron Zips route then over the latter route. But I don't know if that's the right thing to do right now. But this is a perfect time to do so. If Ryan Day says, Stroud, you're out. McCord or Miller or Ewers, you are now in. Trevion Henderson. I know many of you may be waiting and saying, Jay, what do you think about this guy here? Is he really going to be that good? Well, let's just say he just broke a record that was set within the 1970s by, I believe, was Archie Griffin. And now I believe he is there's only two running backs in Ohio State history that have rushed for more yards than him in a single game. One is Trey Sermon from last year. The other is Eddie George, a Heisman Trophy winner. You got RJ Young at Fox Sports, the number one ranked show, I believe, was the show that he hosts. You have Josh Pate. From Late Kick with Josh Pate, the show that he does on the YouTube for 24/7 Sports. You have so many people out there that have been saying, Trevion Henderson. And I'm going to tell you, like I told you before, I'm going to be a wait-and-see kind of guy. And I have waited and waited and waited and waited. And that boy, from what I saw today, now granted, lesser opponents than what Ohio State will see in the Big Ten football regular season, the rest of the Big Ten football teams they have to play this year. But that boy's special. I mean, it is not just the amount of yards that he had. I believe he had a touchdown run to the right. Jeremy Rucker came around and sealed off the edge, and then Henderson went around that. Trevion Henderson had a head fake to the right. Now, if you go back and look at the replay, you'll see it. You might not notice it when it happens because it's not subtle, but it's a subtle movement. It's very, very quick movement. That was a very, very, very sad, horrible snap. There we go. It was a very quick and subtle movement. And as a defender, that little move to your right, that could be something that could be either you react properly and you tackle him, or you react a little bad and you end up opening the hole for him. And that's exactly what happened. Trevion Henderson did a little head fake to the right, went inside because the defender went to the outside like Henderson wanted, eluded a tackler, I believe around the 10 to 5-yard line, and went into the end zone for a touchdown. 277 on the ground. That was the offense. I don't like saying this right now. We're through game number three in Ohio State's balanced offense that we have been asking about and hoping to see for quite a long time. We're waiting to see that balanced offense, and we did not see it today. That's part of the reason I believe some of you are calling for another quarterback to come in and then for things to go differently. Leave Henderson in. Put Mayan Williams back in the backfield. I understand why Ryan Day decided to not play him based off of things that happened this week. We're not in trouble, but based off some things that happened this week, Ryan Day said, where I am going to not allow Mayan Williams to play, I'm going to put Teague in at the RB2 spot on the depth chart due to Teague having a really good week of practice. Day is a coach. Day, that's Day's decision. Would that be the same decision against maybe a Big Ten opponent? Probably not. But when you're playing a lesser opponent, you do things that you might not normally do. Here's the things that the offense needs to do. Move the ball consistently. Finish drives. Convert on third down. Do all of these simple things. Part of the reason on Friday's show, I mentioned a few things that were simple for Ohio State, because Ohio State should have destroyed Tulsa. Should have easily scored 50 to 60 points based off the things that we believe they have on this team. However, maybe what we're seeing right now with the Ohio State football team is that the talent that we thought we had, or the talent that we have heard all offseason this team has, maybe we're seeing the talent put on Front Street, and this is the talent the team has on the team. Maybe that's the things that we have right now. We have seen the offense be successful against a really good top 15, top 10 opponent in Oregon. We know what the offense can do. But can it do it consistently? We know the defense, or what we believe the defense can do, but however, on the defense, we are not seeing a consistent pass rush. Really, we're not seeing a pass rush at all. We see it sparingly. We got Tyreek Williams getting a sack at the end of the game, really throwing down Brandon, the quarterback, from Tulsa very, very hard. I mean, hey, man, yeah, when you get there, make sure he gets down quick, fast, and in a hurry. The defense, you look at the coverage. You see, well, if there's a blitz, it's man. If there's no blitz, there's probably a zone. They may mix some things up every now and then. The defense is kind of predictable as well. And I don't like predictable offenses or defenses or things on the special teams. Why? Because it makes things a whole lot easier for the opposition. Those are the reasons why I think things being very predictable are not ideal for the talent on this team.
Hey, guys. So there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you are sweating through your shirts for no reason. It's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know that I personally have dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this isn't life and death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use SweatBlock and antiperspirant wipes. SweatBlock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at SweatBlock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor as well? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're definitely missing out. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and even salted caramel. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com.
Think about this. We're Ohio State fans. I was a fan before I became the host of this year's podcast or an analyst of the football team. So we're all in the same shoes here. Let's think about this. The Ohio State football team, is a team that is supposed to be full of talent. You would think that Ohio State having the 4- and 5-star recruits that come in from the high school ranks are to put on the stars are put in from the 247, the Rivals, the ESPN, now On3.com has their own ranking. The same guy that started Rivals and 247 Sports is the same person that started On3.com. So if you see more recruiting rankings coming from there, the same guy that started the previous two or is the same one that started this one here. So we all are at some point fans. We're very critical. We have a very high standard for this football team. It doesn't seem like the standard is being held up to right now. You're going to tell me we got all these 4-stars, all of these 5-stars on the team. You know how Jay sits here and believes about the 5-stars? I say it all the time. I'm going to keep on saying it. The stars next to your name in high school mean absolutely nothing once you step on the field. Even in high school, they mean absolutely nothing once you step on the field. The Heisman Trophy or all these awards people win in college, they mean absolutely nothing once you step on the field. Maybe you play a game after you win an award in college. That award means absolutely nothing. Maybe you're the Heisman Trophy winner. That means nothing once you get to the next level. The awards and the stars mean absolutely nothing once you step on the field. And I wonder if on this defense, I don't need to break down the game. I could break down the game and tell you that Tulsa's passing the ball a lot. Hell, now the rush defense, Tulsa could not run the ball at all. At all. At one point, I looked up in the second half, third quarter, fourth quarter, they only had 14 rushing yards. Now, granted, some of those are some sack yards that are put in, but they only had 14 rushing yards. The defense was able to stop the run, but for some odd reason, these guys cannot figure things out and stop the pass. Now, you may remember earlier, about 18 minutes ago in this show, I mentioned that Kerry Combs was up in the press box during the game. Kerry Combs did not call the defensive plays. Paul Rose was assisting with the team today a little bit in a different variety, and Matt Barnes, secondary coach, was calling the defensive plays. So when you know all of that stuff, and you see some of the same things you saw over game one and game two, many people are calling for Kerry Combs' head for him to be fired. You might now be wondering, is it the players? Is it the execution? Is it what they're being taught in practice? Is some of the stuff that they're not doing common sense? You may now be questioning the thing you thought before this game. It might alter some things going into the next game that Ohio State plays. That's one thing I love about being an analyst. You can be wrong. It just improves and alters how you view that same thing if it happens again. It's a beautiful thing. It's a give-and-take type of deal. It's something where if you view the thing that you're good at or that you're struggling with or the thing that you might say, yeah, I thought I had that right, but I don't. Well, now I can look back and say, well, here's why I didn't get that right. Here's what I can do to change that in the future. Here's what I can do to make sure that no matter what, this football team, the Ohio State defense, it doesn't matter if it's Minnesota, who at times could pass the ball against Ohio State. Doesn't matter if it's Oregon and Anthony Brown, who numbers don't say he did a phenomenal job passing the ball, but he did enough inside of the confines of their offense to move the ball through the air. The RPO game that they ran so well last week, and now Brent, the quarterback from Tulsa, who really isn't that good of a quarterback, and it's a work in progress. Their offense was able to move the ball through the air against Ohio State. Not a fan. Not a fan of what we're seeing. Not a fan of the things that this team has done so far. Yes, I am currently working in my head and trying to figure out the proper way to view and analyze this team so the next time we come back here on this year podcast, we are able to do the thing we want to do. Analyze and make sure we are making the proper analysis and view, making the having the proper or maybe altering our opinions from things previously to make sure we are okay. This team here, even though there was growth of the defense, I want to be positive. I want to be very, very positive. But I'm beginning to question. One of the listeners of the podcast, forget exactly your name, forgive me for that, but tweeted at me and said, I said something about the Denzel Burke interception that was overturned, which I firmly believe was a horrible, horrible, horrible call. Okay, you say, well, the receiver came down with the ball. No, when it went to the ground, Denzel Burke easily took the ball from the receiver and had it in his hand, especially when he got up. But no, that was not what we thought it was. There were some dogs on this team, I think, in the way that they play. But the one thing I want, we're going to close up shop with this. The one thing I believe everybody wants after this game, where the defense was able, was getting passed on throughout most of the game, even when they kind of changed up coverages, the Tulsa offense was able to move the ball through the air during portions of the game. You have the Ohio State offense that is still one-dimensional with via the running the ball. One-dimensional in this game. Consistently, can they move the ball and pass the ball? I'm still waiting to see it. Because C.J. Stroud in game one, yeah, a half, he was really, really good. C.J. Stroud in game two started off slow, and then we saw how the offense really opened up because Oregon's secondary gave so many holes for the offense. C.J. Stroud in game three declined, went down. Is there anybody on this team that can step up and get in the faces of these guys and say, look, this is embarrassing. We have booze in the horseshoe during this game. What we're watching right now is embarrassing. The way we're playing is embarrassing. This is not good for us to play like this at all. This is embarrassing. I know when I played football, I remember when I was playing and I only played up through high school, there will be times where a player will get on another player for the way that first player is playing and say, hey, well, player one, you're playing bad. Player two comes over and gets in your face, gets in your grill and says, look, you're better than this. We are better than this. We need to change things right now. We need to change the way that we are playing the football. On defense, not having a pass rush consistently is not up to the standard at Ohio State, as well as not up to the standard that I believe these players practice at every single week. This is not the standard that Ohio State has set for themselves that you believe the standard should be at Ohio State. It's quite embarrassing the way that all these cameras are, you know, no matter if your game's on Fox or CBS or the ESPN, Big Ten Network, which is owned 51% by Fox, 51% by Fox, it's very, very alarming, and it's kind of concerning that at no portion, no time during this game do we see Tim Brando, Spencer Tillman, motion and say, okay, we got to fight. We got an argument on the sidelines at Ohio State. We got coaches getting on coaches. We got players that are getting on players. You say, Jay, that's for the locker room. Okay, you got a 60-minute football game where most of that is on the sidelines. You're on the field. Only a portion of that game, 4 hours before the game, to take long from beginning to end, you are in the locker room. There is so much time on that sideline. If there is a dispute or there's a player getting on somebody, 9 times out of 10, one of those 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 cameras in the stadium is going to catch that. They're going to put it on TV. Now, granted, maybe the producer says, no, we don't do that. But in the case of what we saw today on defense, on offense, whatever it is, I firmly think that they would have gladly put that on the television. Why? It needed to be showed. I'm very alarmed. Kind of concerned. Yes, a 21-point win, and for most teams against Tulsa, that's amazing. That's a good thing. It's a great sign. There are some great signs in this game. And I want to be positive. I want to come on here after games and say, look, okay, Ohio State's offense, phenomenal. We got DeJuan Jones got 3 pancakes. We got Luke Whipler doing some pulling for the center position. We have Matt Jones coming in, backing up there Mumford, who I don't believe it'll be a long-term injury based off some things that Ryan Day said in the post-game presser. So there Mumford, don't believe it'll be something that is long-term for him. I you would think you would have a lot of these things happening. I want to be positive. I want to be happy. I want to say, yeah, JTT, Tuamaloau, and Paliye, now OTOT, is coming in, and they're doing a phenomenal job. I want to come over here, on here and be positive. A 21-point win, you would think that would be the case. The standard that Ohio State has is not being held up to. The standard that we have seen from Ohio State is not something that we are seeing right now on the field from the beginning to the end. Something needs to change. I appreciate all of you in the chat here very quickly. I'm going to try and go through these before we close up shop here. Somebody says, Tim Thomas says, I'm not confused, but disappointed. I understand that. I mean, I'm confused by certain things, and it's some things that go on the field, some things we are not seeing. But this is a major disappointment based off the things that we have currently been seeing with this team. OSU had so many injuries in a peewee game like this. This is why I love the Ohio State football fan base. You guys don't hold back. We don't hold back. The standard is high. The injuries are something that I talked to someone about last year, not so much something that was it a doctor or a medical person in that field. But it was alarming last year when we had some injuries, and a lot of the injuries we're having right now, some of it is football. Players are going to get hurt. But I'm kind of wondering, man, what I've been questioning things that have gone on in practice, but I really wonder, why are guys getting hurt right now? Seven Banks, why wasn't he playing more? Mayan Williams, I understand what Ryan Day says. Not saying I agree with it, but I understand what Ryan Day says. But there are some things coming from this coaching staff. I'm gonna close up with this. The coaching staff, positionally, O-line, running back, wide receiver, D-line, linebacker, secondary. It's nice to see Noah Ruggles out there on the field and really not seeing the field goals last week. We saw a couple of field goals from him today, and we really saw that, hey, he can make some field goals. He is showing improvement. The inconsistencies that we heard in the offseason, he is going away from those right now. I don't believe these coaches are off the hook. As much as I want to see the players get on each other, somebody emerges a dog and somebody that emerges has a few screws loose. I think these coaches need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting themselves and say, look, are we doing the best thing for this team, for our team to be in the best situation to be successful every single game? If the answer is no, something needs to change. That seems to be the theme of the year so far. Something needs to change. We're going to see over the next few games how Ohio State has changed and really find out more, solidify what kind of team Ohio State currently is. Right now, the team, you can beat Tulsa. You can come close to beating Oregon. You can beat Minnesota. You got Akron next week. That should be a win. You got Rutgers coming up. You got Nebraska coming up. You got Michigan at the end of the season. We're not talking about that right now. No. We're not talking about that right now. Why? It's a long time between that game and now, and I'm so glad that game is not next week. Guys, I'm going to close up shop. This post-game show, Ohio State won. They beat the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes 41-20. Travion Henderson now holds the record for the most rushing yards as a freshman at Ohio State, 277, I believe, to be exact. C.J. Stroud, hurt shoulder, looks like he struggled throughout most of the game. Defense shows signs of growth, begins to get stops against Tulsa. But still, Tulsa was able to move the ball through the air too many times during this game. You can follow me on Twitter, if you're not already, at jstevens07. We will be back next week. We got a guest coming on Tuesday. Myself back on Wednesday, live show. Tuesday evening, live show. Thursday evening, and a live post-game show at the end of next week's game against Akron. I'm hoping between now and then, the next time we see the Ohio State Buckeyes on the field, we see a lot better play from them, because what we saw today, last week, in week number one, game number one, is not up to the standard that you have or that is set for any Ohio State football player. Until the next time we speak, guys, have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Watch the whiteout. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And also remember, Ohio State has things to work on. We're going to talk about those things all week long.